Does hypnosis help solve crimes, or does it put innocent people in jail, maybe even to death? You might remember the hit documentary Thin Blue Line. In it, we hear about a flawed Texas case, in part because police used hypnosis on a witness.
She went through 2 weeks internal affairs. When she comes out, her testimony changes. She goes in saying one thing, she comes out saying another. Something happened. What? Oh, well, you know, we refreshed her memory.
Refreshed her memory through police-induced hypnosis. And now the Supreme Court may take up the technique in another case in which Texas state police say they used hypnosis. And Charles Don Flores is appealing his conviction, arguing they used it on the only witness that put him at the scene during a home invasion and murder in 1998. It turns out that hundreds of officers have been certified to practice hypnosis in Texas since the 1980s. They call it a reliable tool. Reporter Lauren Magahi and her co-worker Dave Boucher spent more than a year investigating the practice for the Dallas Morning News. And Lauren joins us now from Austin, Texas. Hi, Lauren.
Hi.
Distinguish, as you do in your writing, there's stage hypnosis, you know, people who make you think you're walking on hot coals. There's therapy. This is not right. The same?
This is not. So people are probably most familiar with seeing hypnosis in TV shows and movies, you know, like The Manchurian Candidate. What we would think of as stage hypnosis. Most hypnotists are actually clinicians, physicians who use hypnosis in therapy, you know, for things like helping to ease anxiety or help people sleep better. But what we were talking about is completely separate from even those two different kinds of hypnosis. This is police using hypnosis on a crime victim or witness in an attempt to refresh their memory if they have forgotten some details about what happened to them.
Well, we'll get to what science says about that, but give us some examples of how it's used.
It was used after the JFK assassination. It was even used to investigate the Ted Bundy case.
Well, you say it's been used widely, but how many states are still using it? And what happens in Texas? Officers take a week training?
That's right. Police hypnosis was pretty popular in the 80s and even in the 90s. But it's largely fallen out of practice because more and more states, as you alluded to, have banned introducing testimony based on something that is said under hypnosis. But Texas, in the past few years, it's been used more than 50 times just by the Texas Rangers, which are, you know, the vaunted state investigators.
It's been used in Texas over 1,800 times since the 80s. And while the American Psychiatric Association supports hypnosis employed by trained healthcare professionals as a therapeutic tool, in other words, to help people overcome habits or cope with severe anxiety or maybe lose weight, there is research on whether or not it works to retrieve memories. And that research, if I've got this right in your reporting, shows that it may actually implant imaginary ideas or distort recollections, because we're reading elsewhere in some research that researchers say your brain doesn't record everything. It doesn't have every single memory in there. And so what? A witness might try to supply one?
Right. There are these four pitfalls that researchers say we deal with when we're talking about police using hypnosis to, quote unquote, refresh someone's memory. Subjects who believe they're hypnotized can be prone to suggestion. They can respond to cues from the hypnotist without even really realizing they're responding to cues. So they might be led to believe something that didn't actually happen. And then there's what you refer to in the research. They call it confabulation, literally filling in gaps in your memory with events that may have never occurred. And if there's no corroborating evidence in a case to show that something actually happened that someone remembered only under hypnosis, then there's really no way to know whether that memory was true or not. All of those factors, some of them are helpful when we're talking about therapy, because you can suggest that someone sleep better. You can suggest that someone stop smoking. But when you're talking about memory and what our brain actually retains, it can become highly problematic.
Well, that brings us to the Charles Don Flores story. Who is he and what's his involvement with this?
Charles Don Flores is on death row in Texas. He was convicted of being involved in the murder of a grandmother in North Texas about more than 20 years ago now. he's appealed his case many times, and now he's trying to appeal it kind of in a Hail Mary to the U.S. Supreme Court. And one of the arguments he's making is that a key witness who testified against him, who placed him at the scene of the crime, was hypnotized to refresh her memory in the days after the crime. And him and his lawyers are arguing that has made her testimony in total unreliable.
Well, and further, there were two men who were accused in this really heinous, heinous crime, murdering this 60-something woman, stealing things from her home. Richard Lynn Childs, a white man, pled guilty to actually killing the woman. He was sentenced to 35 years, was released on parole in 2016. Flores was convicted under the law of parties. This is a Texas statute that lets accomplices be tried for the same crime as the perpetrator. Again, under hypnosis, this neighbor who saw two men go in said she thought it was him. Why is he up for the death penalty, but the actual perpetrator was not?
Richard Lynn Childs did agree to plead guilty, and so he was able to make a deal. Charles Don Flores would not plead guilty. He's said he is innocent, and because he would not admit blame, then he was given the maximum potential penalty for being involved in a crime of this nature in Texas, which is the death penalty.
Yeah. Well, in Charles Don Flores, there was circumstantial evidence. He was seen with the car that Richard Lynn Childs owned. He knew him, but there's nothing that's direct evidence, no fingerprints, nothing but the witness under hypnosis testimony?
That's right. There's no physical evidence tying Charles Don Flores to the murder scene or to the body of the woman who was killed. But the prosecutors say that the fact that he knew the man who pleaded guilty, that he was seen with him the same day as the murder, and that he ultimately fled the country, that's their argument, that he must have been involved in some way in the murder of this woman. He says that he did all of those things because he knew that they suspected his involvement and that he didn't have another option but to flee. He also has raised questions about why the white man in this case who admitted to the murder is already out and out of prison while he, an Hispanic man, remains on death row.
Well, then there's also the accuracy of the testimony under hypnosis. The witness described a medium-built man with long hair. Charles is short and pudgy. Doesn't look like he has any hair. What's at stake besides the life of Charles Don Flores? No small thing. But if, in fact, the Supreme Court, and it's going to be a far more conservative court, if they turn down hypnosis as the sole evidence in a murder case, does that mean that Texas might stop? I mean, what's at stake here?
There's a lot at stake in this case. Obviously, for Charles Don Flores, it's his very life. But the U.S. Supreme Court hasn't revisited police using hypnosis as an investigative tool since the late 80s. Even at that time, they were split 5-4. They were close to finding that hypnosis was not a reliable tool. They could take up this case now and decide that courts should not be accepting testimony from people who have been hypnotized by law enforcement. In states like Texas, that would have a huge effect because at least at the top echelons of law enforcement, the Texas Rangers, sheriffs, they still use hypnosis regularly enough that they would then have to completely dismantle those programs. Even would probably have to take a look anew at any and all recent cases, inmates in Texas prisons who were put there using hypnosis. Or they could find that they believe that hypnosis is a perfectly fine tool. It's hard to say whether if the U.S. Supreme Court suddenly kind of gave the green light to hypnosis, whether it would be used. I think it would come down to whether prosecutors believe that that ultimately taints their case or makes their case more difficult to argue.
Lauren McGaughey, a reporter for the Dallas Morning News, her team spent more than a year looking into the use of hypnosis in Texas law enforcement. Lauren, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Robin.